This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Have a clip you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, clip of the day here. This comes from Bill Simmons on this idea of the Nuggets trade with the Boston Celtics of Jamal Murray, Jaylen Brown, and Cam Johnson, and Sam Hauser. Here's what Bill Simmons had to say.
A lot of smoke billowing around Denver in general. Some I believe, some I don't believe. Murray and Cam Johnson for Jaylen and Hauser, which would save Denver $10 million this year. The Celtics could take Cam Johnson in their trade exception. Murray is $50 million this year, 54 and 57. So he's about $8 million behind Jaylen in each of those years.
But same amount of years.
Same amount of years, but I'm shaving off $7, $8 million. I'm adding Cam Johnson, who I can either keep or spin in a trade. And I am getting somebody who I still think is one of the best 25 players in the league back for Jaylen. And I think if I'm Boston, I'm signing up for that trade. If I'm Denver, I'm at least having a 6-hour meeting, and it's a reconstruction of a team, because you're going to remove the Murray Jokic pick and roll. But you could run a lot of that offense through Joker. You re-sign Peyton Watson with the extra money. You have him more involved offensively, and you could argue that that team's better. It's bigger. It's deeper. You have Jokic and Gordon and Jaylen as your front line. You have more flexibility, and you have somebody who can really step in if Gordon gets hurt, which he gets hurt every year.
All right. That was it. I'm actually kind of the opposite. If I'm Boston, I'm hesitating to make this move. I think nationally the perception, and I saw this in the bubble, the perception of Jamal Murray when he's hot is, wow. He is the greatest. He is could be potentially one of the best guards in the league. And then he just does his thing where he goes away for a while. He's inconsistent. And nobody says a word about him. Until he gets on a nationally televised broadcast, and then he goes off. And I'm not like trying to belittle Jamal Murray here at all. But if you think he's a consistent star, you're not watching. You're not paying attention. I like what Bill Simmons had to say about Jaylen Brown. You get bigger, stronger, tougher defensively. That's what this team needs. We're not seeing this team just in the playoffs, especially, just go in and out shoot and outscore. The last 2 years, when they need to make a clutch stop in the playoffs, they're not making it. And you need more defensive-minded guys. George Karl preached defensive-minded strategy, philosophy forever. Michael Malone preached that too. And the only way you can fix that is if you start bringing in the players that have that mentality. You are not going to instill a defensive mentality into somebody that doesn't have it. Unless that is how you're doing it. Unless that's like you have, like, when a guy signs up as a rookie, this is how we do it here in Denver. But that's not been the case. So I think this trade is intriguing to me more on Denver's side of things. And I think for Boston, I would hesitate. I would hesitate with Jamal. Because who is Jamal Murray without Nikola Jokic? If the Celtics have to determine, can Jamal separate from him, which has been a part of his career, the two-man game, the Joker-Jamal two-man game, that's more of a Joker creation than it is a Jamal creation. Don't forget that before Jamal took over this team and Gary Harris was on this team and he was in his prime, a lot of the talk was about the pick-and-roll two-man game between those two guys, just not the top of the key as much, more on the wing, because Gary is the two-guard. They made a whole special about it. Go Google search it if you don't believe me. It's about Gary Harris and Joker going to bring this two-man game to the Nuggets. And then, ultimately, Jamal starts shining, taking over, and you traded Gary Harris and got Aaron Gordon, and Jamal's the guy. Again, none of these are meant to be knocks on Jamal. This is what I've seen over the years. And I've been the guy begging for Jamal Murray to be the most consistent Nugget maybe in their history. Because as soon as he was drafted, I said, man, that guy could be better than Steph Curry. So I had a lot more on the line with this whole thing. But he hasn't been. He never became that dude. He never became really anything close to a Steph Curry guy. And I asked you on Friday, I'm like, when do we stop saying he will be that guy? He's been in the league long enough. Now I'm seeing like Nuggets fans, suddenly Jaylen Brown's not that guy. What he lacks in production offensively, he makes up for defensively. Jamal cannot say that. If Jamal Murray is not scoring 28 points, odds are he's not putting much pressure on an offense with his defensive ability. Jaylen Brown brings that. Now, how does that relationship work? Brown likes to get on his podcast and bitch about things. Is that going to be a good thing for Joker? When I say bitch about things, I don't think that he's like constantly getting on there and just ripping people to shreds. I think he vents his frustration sometimes, from what I've seen. But what are we going to... Seriously, these fans that are so upset and saying that they can't make any moves, this isn't the Avalanche, this isn't hockey. Yes, they can. I question why the Kroenkes are so much more aggressive with the Avalanche than they are the Nuggets. And I'm told, Brady, it's different CBAs. That does not mean trades are non-existent in the NBA. That means you're dealing with less money and less restrictions. But last I checked, the Nuggets made a trade for Michael Porter Jr. They traded him off their books last year in a move that nobody thought could happen. And it happened. So I don't want to hear the different CBAs. The Nuggets can absolutely make moves. And if they wanted to, avoid moves entirely and sign Peyton Watson and go into the second apron. I only say that if we believe that that is a championship move. And nobody that's a Nuggets fan can say that that's the move. Just re-signing Peyton Watson. Let's read a couple of texts. Eastside Chris chiming in. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. My mind is blank right now. If it goes through, would Jamal be the number one guy? At Boston? No. It'd be Jason Tatum, then Jamal. Which you could run a variation of two-man game stuff there if Boston's intrigued by that. Does that put Derek White on the bench? I think Derek White should be involved in this conversation. I'm willing to sweeten that up a little more. Derek White would be great. Dixon texting in, I think the two-man game is a little overrated. When Murray is great, Jamal is often creating his own shot and hitting threes. I think the two-man game, and it gets congested too. I think we've learned so much. Teams have learned so much about it. To me, it just looks like they get stuck. You know, pass it back and forth. Jamal Murray dribbles for 8 seconds, finds Joker again, then goes back to Jamal, dribbles for another four. I think they get too dependent on it. And sometimes if you have a coach that's too dependent, especially a young coach, you take away their binky. You take it away, Michael. Someone should have taken that away from you a long time ago. Take that binky away. And that's the Nuggets binky, is the two-man game. When all else fails, the ball needs to be in Joker and Jamal's hand. Everybody else just stand around. Take it away.
What do they do? Like, what do they do if it's just the two guys?
What do they do currently when that happens? They stand in the corners and wait for an open shot. Other than Aaron Gordon. And they didn't have him in the playoffs.
Sounds like they need a three-man game.
But they need to not rely on... No, the two-man game, they have the best two-man game in the league. So it's not that it's bad. It's just when it doesn't work, what are your other options? If you have more slashers, guys that can create. Jamal Murray, people want to say he flops sometimes. I don't, honestly, it's going to sound weird coming from me. I don't think he flops enough. I don't think he goes to the rim hard. And he's a finesse guy. Jaylen Brown's going to go hard. He's also not going to flop. He's going to go hard with the intent of, I'm making this shot, or else one of us is going to have a concussion. Maybe not that extreme, but that's what I like about him. Now, he has a tendency to turn it over. You put pressure on him, there's a chance he's going to just throw it to Narnia. And not you're not going to see it again. That's something to worry about. That's why I like the idea of Derek White, but Boston also likes the idea of Derek White. They're not going to throw him in there. They're good with Sam Hauser and Jaylen Brown, but Derek White, that's too big a pill to swallow.
If you were in charge of the Nuggets right now and you could make the decision, what decision are you making?
For this proposed trade that's on the table right now, I'm making it.
Why are you making it?
Because I think we've seen this song, we've seen this act too much already, and I don't see it changing. I don't think suddenly after however many years Jamal Murray's going to wake up and it's just like every night he's putting up 30. Oh, and he's pretty good defensively too. 4 years ago, I would have said, give us some more time. I'm done with that. And then you get the scare over the weekend where Joker says, maybe I'll sign. Maybe I'll wait. What's the line of The Departed? Maybe not. Maybe go yourself. Like, that's what I'm thinking with Joker. It's kind of like, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'll sign, but I'd like to see what you do.
Maybe he hasn't decided whether he wants to play past next year.
You know what? There's a possibility that this guy is just done.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought of.
But, Mike, $70 million a year. You want to turn that away to go play basketball? $70 million a year. Now, I get it. It'd be five more years away from Serbia. And your kids are growing up. You're not around. They live in Denver during his time in Denver. The guy doesn't do anything. He just plays basketball, comes home. But $70 million a year for the next 4 years. What is it? Would we say 200? It wouldn't be 300. Somebody threw out 350. What did I say? 274 if he waits until next summer, and then it's 215 if he signs today. But it's a three-year deal as opposed to next summer. It would be a four-year deal. Dixon says Nuggets are soft and need more dogs. Is Jaylen Brown a dog? I think if you play good defense in this league, you're a dog. Automatically. If you can average 28 points a night and you play good defense, you're a dog. That's the question. If you say they need more dogs, do you like this trade? Because Cam Johnson's not a dog. Jamal Murray... Pens. He's a dog sometimes when it comes to the clutch offensively. But I'm kind of tired of talking about defense. I'm tired of saying we needed to get stops. It's the biggest time we just couldn't do it. We need to be better defensively. The only way you get better defensively is you get rid of your worst defensive players. And if your two worst starters are the also two worst defensive players that are starters are your best players, which is Joker and Jamal, then you probably should move one of them. Not the guy that gets triple doubles and changes an entire game plan around teams. The guy that is going to give you 12 one night, he's going to give you 30 the next. Both nights, he's not going to play defense. That's the route you go. It sucks. I don't want to see the end of this for Jamal. I was desperate for this team to beat Minnesota and then get their crack at San Antonio like they did against OKC last year. But that might have been an example of guys knew the end was near for this entire thing, so we're going to go all out one more year. We got Porter who can't lift his arm. We got Aaron Gordon with a hamstring calf mix. Russell Westbrook's hands falling off. And we're going to go one full hard run at OKC with nothing to lose. And I think that was the example because they just fired their coach. They fired their GM. They had nothing. Nobody believed they could do anything. And I think they believed. And that can get you far sometimes in the NBA if you have the skill. And that got them to a game 7 against the Thunder. That was my worry about hiring Yadelman, was how much of that was just, we fired our coach, we fired our GM, this ownership crew thinks, basically is saying we're going to blow it all up, let's do the major league thing, win the whole blanking thing. And unfortunately, it didn't happen, and then this year was back down to reality, and you couldn't beat a Minnesota Timberwolves team that had several key players out. Yes, Michael.
How far away are the Nuggets, like, in your opinion? How far away? Are they one trade away, or are they if you make this trade, which you said you would, are they a contender, or are they still, we're probably going to lose in the fourth
if,
round?
If I say that round. The Nuggets are better with this trade, then that basically means I'm saying Jamal Murray is the weak link. And that's not fair, because I don't think he is. But I think having a Jaylen Brown-type player that can play better defense changes the dynamic. And I do agree with Bill Simmons. I think he kind of just threw it out there. Like, they can run the two-man game with Joker as long as whoever it is. It's almost true. I do think that Joker could find a chemistry with somebody, but who's handling the rock? That's the question. Do I think they're better with this trade? The Cam Johnson and Sam Hauser thing are probably Hauser doesn't play he's not as good offensively, but defensively, I think better. I thought Cam Johnson was slightly better than MPJ defensively. Sam Hauser's probably more of a they would call him a capable defender. He used to be kind of a liability. I don't think he was good his first couple of years playing defense. Three-point shooting was kind of his thing. He's got good basketball IQ. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a wash. Because there's a lot of people that don't want to get rid of Cam Johnson. But the thing I like about Sam Hauser, he's got one-on-one ability. That's what the Nuggets said they're looking for. It's guys that can create stuff and not rely on Joker. So is that a wash? We'll call it a wash, but maybe Sam Hauser's better than Cam Johnson.
Can you train Jokic to play defense so he's not so much of a liability, or is he just too stuck in his way?
A lot of that is, Mike, a lot of that, it don't foul. A lot of that is, dude, if you get in foul trouble, we're done. You know, like, don't foul. He's got some quickness, and he has good hands. He has really good hands. He can slap basketballs out of there. He can pop steals open. It's just when he's asked to run at a guy and even get close to the perimeter or get up on the free throw line extended, that's harder for him unless he really, really just mentally dedicates himself to that. The problem with that sometimes is when you have such a threat that does the whole triple-double thing all the time, there's not a lot of room to play great defense every time down the floor. Because everything that you've got is going toward the offensive game. Passing, shooting, rebounding, all that. And that does take a lot of energy. And that's not like a selfish thing. That's not he needs to give it his all the whole way. If Joker was the defensive player, if Joker was the same skill of defense player that he was offense, he would have been created in a lab. Some kind of basketball lab. He wouldn't be a real person.
Would you think he'd get more respect if he plays better defense?
But you can't. I'm telling you, you can't play his high level of offense and be that energetic on the defensive side of the ball. When you're going up against other 7-footers, you can't. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but it's the truth of it. If you go, to the wall defensively, You're tired on the other end. You're not as good offensively either. I mean, look at Jamal Murray. When he dribbles around the court for almost the length of the shot clock, by the time they go to fire up a shot, he's gassed. Think about that, but just reverse it. Put Joker on defense when he's doing that for 24 seconds. He could get better. They all could. But I just don't. You're never going to see Joker transition into an all-time elite defender. I think you would see some of his offensive prowess drop off if that was the case.
Well, even I'm not saying make him elite. I'm saying make him better.
Wouldn't you say that having other, if you think of defense like a chain, and one of those links is out, messed up, it screws up the entire chain, right? So if Jamal's getting beat at the top of the key, and then player is entering second level, third level, gets to the rim, that makes it harder on everybody to play defense. Because now your guy got beat, so it forces the other guard to slide over. He's out of position. Now we've got two guys that you have to watch out for. If I try to pick up the guy that's left open over here, I'm going to be a step behind the guy that I'm supposed to guard, and by the time I turn around, I've lost a step. But if you have a Jaylen Brown and a good defensive point guard that aren't getting beat more often than not at the top, then it doesn't put everything defensively off schedule. So that's part of the thinking here too. But it's hard. Is that a championship move? If you re-sign Peyton Watson, you start him over Cam Johnson, suddenly you've got a defensive-minded team with the best offensive player in the world. Maybe that is the move that gets you there. I would feel, now again, it sounds like I'm saying Jamal Murray's the issue. I don't necessarily think he's the issue, but I don't know. I just don't know that he's the guy that's going to raise you to that championship level again. John says, you're not going to get Joker and Bruce Brown in the same body. You can't eat German chocolate cake and watch your macros at the same time. I think what he's saying is, like, you're not going to get, Joker's really good at scoring and passing, and you're just not going to get the perfect combination, because LeBron James isn't that great of a defensive player either. He's just kind of depends on the games, but he has those moments where he can come up with monster plays, but he's not necessarily the greatest. Luka's not. Luka's a terrible defensive player. So you know, as far as asking guys to just be better defensively, I say don't ask Joker to be better at anything. Ask the team around him to be better so that he's not asked to be put in tough situations defensively, because I want you focusing on offense. I want you scoring 30 a night. I want you getting 15 assists, and I want you rebounding.
Every time you say, Mike, be better than who you are, I'm going to say, well, I'm depending on the team.
Or I depend on you every day. That's why I say, you if you're better, I don't have to guard two dudes. I can just guard my guy. I don't have to guard two. When you go up and you run up at them and you start playing defense and they run right by you, now I got to guard two guys. It's 2-on-1. Who am I taking?
Well, that's the two-man game right there.
He said, Chris, agree, watching playoff games, Nuggets' two-man game was ugly. The others would maybe four would pass around the horn and get a shot. Yeah, that was the problem. When it didn't work, it was bad to watch. That's why the Nuggets are talking about creation. We need different guys that can come in and create, that can go one-on-one. But yeah, Hauser would be good. I think he'd be good. Defensively, Texter here says, I'm sure his defense is ugly. Now, it's actually gotten better. It wasn't great to start his career, but it's gotten better. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Your thoughts on that Bill Simmons conversation about the potential trade? Does that move make the Nuggets a contender again? Or is it just they're swapping an offensive guard for a defensive-minded player? And how's that going to work? We'll talk about it 29 minutes after the hour. Let's keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
The summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time.
Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. I want to read some of the texts that we missed from last segment, just kind of on this whole trade and roster development thing for the Nuggets. GoPokes texting in. Blow the roster up. If championships are the goal, then this team isn't getting the job done. End of story. So what I'm hearing is you want LeBron in Denver? No, I never said. Never. LeBron's going to Golden State, apparently.
Is he really?
Yeah, well, maybe.
He's not retiring?
No. Are you? Do you?
He's been around for a long
he's
time.
He's not retiring. He's still like one of the. No. Smitty texting in to. Good to hear you come around to how limited Murray is. I don't know if it's come around to. I think there was just a part of me that was comfortable with the inconsistency, and the ups were great and the downs were annoying. And I was there for the rush of the ups, I guess. But I want to win a championship. I want the Nuggets to win another championship. Some of us have been saying this for 5 years. Welcome aboard of the reality train. I've said, Michael, you've produced this show for a while now. You know how I have been really hard on Jamal Murray for a long time about his ups and downs, and it's frustrating for me. But I still felt like, you know, on his best nights, pretty damn good. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's not that I'm coming around to it. It's just without him, you don't win a championship. When you won one. You did win one. And I could say that for Gordon, and obviously Joker, and Bruce Brown, and KCP, and so Michael Porter Jr. That's the truth of any championship team. You could probably say that about a lot of dudes. You probably don't. It really felt that way with Denver. That every minute was valuable. Every player playing minutes was valuable. Because, again, it was only 2.5 guys, essentially, coming off the bench and playing. But without Jamal, you're just not getting it. You're not getting it done. But I do understand that, yeah, it's frustrating when he goes away. And if I can get a player that, if they go away offensively, they pick it up defensively, that would be awesome. But we'll see. I mean, there's going to be a lot to pay attention to with the Nuggets in the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks. The Warriors, I just talked about this. I wanted to hit this story too. I mean, you got movement happening. This is why when we're saying, Brady, the CBAs are different, NHL and NBA, you're acting as if the NBA doesn't move and make moves and make trades and declines options and whatever. You're acting as if none of that's happening in the NBA.
That argument would be good for something else, though. Something else, not this.
What would the argument be good for?
It's a terrible argument for this.
What would that argument be good for?
I mean, if you're I think the fan culture is a little different. I think the popularity is a little different.
What are you saying?
Oh, if you wanted
to compare
the
trading
NHL
players,
and the NBA, like you could make that argument. Oh, the NFL, NHL, and NBA are different, but just not in this situation.
I'm confused. I was told that because the Avalanche are making moves and the Nuggets are not, it's because the CBAs are different. And how would you use that somewhere else when we're talking about building and trading and building up your roster?
Well, I think they're saying basically the NHL and the NBA are just different. But I don't think in this case using that argument for the CBA.
That was specifically what the argument that I was receiving on X was that nothing about NHL. You're trying to go to the overall. Nobody's saying the NHL and the NBA is different. Therefore, they're not making trades. They're telling me because of the NBA's aprons and such that the Nuggets are not able to do anything similar to what the Avalanche has done. They literally did it last year. The CBA has nothing to do with it. The way they're signing contracts has nothing to do with it. It's all relative. We're talking about different money. The NHL, yeah, they pay. Nathan McKinnon doesn't make anything close to what Nikola Jokic makes. But they wheel and deal within the confines of their agreement. And in this case, yeah, if the Nuggets do re-sign Peyton Watson without moving people, they'll be in the second apron. They will have punishments. They won't be able to be as creative this season. And you damn sure don't want to be in it 2 years in a row, but you can do something to fight that, kind of fight that. But if you get into the second apron right now, you make damn sure you get out of it by the time the next actually league year begins. It's muddled. It's confusing. The aprons have done us no favors as far as calming these talks down of being confused. But I think a lot of people are confused by this. But if you're saying that, because I'm basically saying the Avalanche have been aggressive, the Nuggets have not, as far as just making changes. And some of you say, well, it's because they have different CBAs, different rules and regulations. I don't buy that, because you're literally hearing today that there's smoke around the Nuggets wanting to trade for Jaylen Brown. If that was just a flat-out no-no, then we wouldn't be talking about it at all. Clearly, they're having conversations, and it's not against the rules to do it. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to tell you about Ryan Hicks over at Renaissance Insurance. Renaissance Insurance is a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence, extensive national resources, and a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for their clients. They have the national resources, but the independent feel, the local feel for folks throughout Northern Colorado. Give Renaissance Insurance a call if you're looking for a new plan, maybe change it up, or just to see what's out there for a potential change in the future. Talk to Renaissance Insurance Group at 970-674-8825, or visit them online at team-rig, that's team-rig.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Kind of an exhausting conversation with all of this, to be honest. But it's one I think that needs to be had. So obviously we went heavy with the Nuggets today, but there was a lot of news. I mean, we've heard the Peyton Watson stuff, that he might be up and closer to the $30 million a year. I'm not sure if that's the right move. Then you hear that Joker might hold off on signing the contract extension. Then you hear that the Nuggets are certainly open to trading Jamal Murray and or Aaron Gordon. And then you hear that Jaylen Brown and the Boston Celtics might actually be somewhat of a player in all of this. So it's fascinating, and I'm at least encouraged that we're seeing some reports out there that there's potential movement. I don't know what that means. I don't know where we'll end up with this thing. But the fact that maybe we're trying to get something done, or the front office is trying to get something done, that's certainly a positive. We'll see. 47 minutes after the hour, Michael, what did we learn coming up next? And don't forget, tonight we have Rodeo Radio. The entire band is back together. We've got Brian, Gary, Tanner, Schwint, Cody Wilson going to bring you rodeo action live from the Greeley Stampede. So don't forget that. Don't miss it tonight. We'll take a short break. What do we learn coming up next?
Stampede right here, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, what do we learn today? We learned a lot. I don't like this at all. Kill that. That is just awful. You can run these by me from now on. This is not What Have We Learned music. Turn it down. What do we learn today? Seriously, this is awful. Please, it's distracting. The Joker stuff was a shocking development that took place over the weekend. It was rough to see that. Odds are it's probably more about the money, the dollars and cents that is tied to it. But I still think there is something there for Joker where he's trying to send a message. Also, on the Jalen Pickett story, I saw this one too, and I did not get to this one today. But sounds like Jalen Pickett's going to be not on the Nuggets. The Nuggets are declining Jalen Pickett's team option for next season. Ah, man, I was rooting for that guy, but just for whatever reason, never really quite popped here. Michael, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned that there's no Marlon Briscoe, still no Marlon Briscoe.
Oh, you couldn't find it. Yeah.
But two of them do mention that he played for the Denver Broncos. Or one of them mentions that he played for the Denver Broncos and he was quarterback. So I might buy that one for $8.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you. Aaron says, but that music feels so good. Eastside Chris, you go, Michael. There was a vote. Democracy. Oh, we're upholding the vote. We played different What Did We Learn music. This is not What Did We Learn music.
But it feels so good.
But you being in radio, right, I think, you see how it's too overwritey? It's overwriting the actual audio that's going in. It's too much. If you ever try to blast me out again, Mike, new Micah takes over tomorrow. And he's literally behind you. I wouldn't say anything. I would say our secret's safe with me, okay? You do what you got to do. You do what you got to do back there.
You'll turn
as long
off
as
all
we don't have
cameras.
To listen to this. What is happening? What is that trumpet doing right there? This is not What Did We Learn. I feel like we should have a cocktail in our hands. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad for, like, if you want to go out dancing, Michael. I know that that's in your future, but it's not really What Did We Learn type music. So there was a vote. We're upholding the vote. We let Michael play his crappy music, but I have the right to say that's crappy and it's not What Did We Learn music. This is weird. What is it?
Chuck Mangione.
I'm sorry I asked.
Feels so good.
I don't... Oh, that's why Aaron said, but it feels so good.
Yeah. That was great, Aaron. I applaud you.
Don't encourage each other. All right. That'll do it for us. Michael and I will be watching some World Cup action tonight. I'm sure we will.
No, I won't.
No, you will too. Yeah, you're going to watch it. Oh, you're going to love it.
No.
Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.